Welcome. You are listening to the Learning to Believe Again podcast with your host, Brittany Bexton.
Where do you begin when you're learning to believe again?
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Today I have Jeff Allen on with me. Welcome, Jeff.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So I just want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself. What do you do? All that good stuff.
Well, I'm a guitar player, singer, songwriter. I do all types of construction sometimes, but not always. And I enjoy life pretty much at this point.
Awesome. So Jeff has a pretty awesome story. I've heard bits and pieces over time. I'm not sure what all he's going to share tonight, but I want to start way back because I love diving into the way back in childhood. Now, I know Jeff, he is a very prophetic person. He loves God, but did you start in church or did you have a relationship with God growing up or was it different when you were a kid?
Well, I was basically raised in a Pentecostal home. And I pretty much was in church because my folks were in church. And I did my best that I knew how to be a part of it. And I was the headliner in a family gospel group and sang and played guitar pretty much my whole life till I was 18 years old. And then, of course, then I left home and began to kind of go my own way. And after a while, I found myself searching for my own answers the way a lot of us do, apparently, because I've talked to lots of people that wind up in that same situation. They got to get out and find out if the world is really as awful as their folks told them, and they think it's not.
So I know what Pentecostal is. I don't know if all of our audience knows what growing up in a Pentecostal-type church was like. So what was that like?
Well, it was really strict. Pentecostals don't think you should really do much of anything except go to church and go home and go to church again and go home and, you know, work and no fun, anything like that. It's all, you know, most everything's foolish if it's not connected to the church.
And there are a lot of rules in most Pentecostal churches. I know they all vary a little bit, but what was it like for you?
Well, my sisters never were allowed to wear jeans. They always had to wear dresses, and my mother never wore jeans. She always wore dresses. Because I've seen pictures when she was younger, her and her sisters did wear jeans and stuff, you know. But she wasn't raised Pentecost. She was married to my dad, and they became Pentecostal because of things that happened. And my dad had a leg healed, and I've never known him to limp, but he limped the whole time before that. And I was very young at the time, so I don't remember him ever limping. And that's what led them into the Pentecostal movement.
Oh, that's awesome. I know that Pentecostal churches can be very strict, and sometimes that totally takes away from the Holy Spirit involvement. But the funny thing to me is that Pentecostal churches are very charismatic. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So like your dad had that experience, there was a healing.
Yes.
So did you grow up with people speaking in tongues and doing all that stuff?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
All the time.
So skipping ahead, you said that as you got older, you felt like you needed to discover the world more on your own. Would you say it was like a rebellious phase?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
And when was that? You said around 18?
18, 19, when I left home and you know, got out and got a room of my own and that kind of thing, and started playing guitar elsewhere instead of in church, you know, in the honky-tonk bars and that kind of thing.
So during that time, did you feel like you were farther away from God or just farther away from the church?
Actually, it was more being farther away from the church. I've never really felt that far from God because I'd always known that God was there and God was everywhere. And you know, no matter how you try, you're not going to get away from Him no matter where you go. It's in the scripture, you know. If I go to hell, He's there, you know. Uh-huh. And if I'm in the storm, He's there. And when you know, if you're in the calm, He's there. So he's there for you, and you just don't know it.
But you did, during that time, you kind of fell into some stuff that wasn't the best for you?
Or yes.
Tell us a little bit about that period of time.
Yes, well, I never was that much of a drinker because I didn't like not remembering where I'd been and what I'd been doing. And I got into the drugs more than alcohol. And for the lack of a better term, I pretty much stayed high for 30 years.
Wow. Not that they necessarily need to know all the details, but using drugs can mean a variety of things?
Yes, mostly pot, but got into cocaine, LSD quite a bit. Hallucinogens in general was a lot of fun. I mean, I really can't lie about it. That wouldn't be right. But at the time, it was a lot of fun. But it did not lead to fun in the end, and it did not remain fun after a while. It's just like anything else along those lines. You kind of get immune to it, and you get to where you think you can't function without it, and those kinds of things. And that's just a lie that the enemy brings along to keep you on the leash, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you say you get to a point where you think you can't function without it. Now, was it really you thought you couldn't function without it, or did you think you couldn't be happy without it?
I actually thought I couldn't be me without it. It had been, after a while, it had been in my life for so long, and I'd been partaking of those things so long, it just didn't seem like I was even myself without it.
Yeah.
Which is, that's totally not true.
No.
I wasn't myself while I was on them. And,
right.
Know, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What you said is so true. It's like a leash of the enemy. It's that trap that you don't even realize, you know, because you're in a situation or, you know, it can be a variety of things. For you, it was the drugs, but for so many people, it can be different situations. And it's like this cage, and you get so used to that cage, right, that...
Yes.
It feels like that's your normal or that's who you are, but really it's taken everything away from who you are and what you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to feel and the joy you're supposed to experience.
So, yes.
So you said that you were basically high for 30 years. Does that mean you used like every day and were high most days through the day?
I didn't sleep long enough to not be high, and I'd just get up and start again. So that's why I feel like I was basically high for 30 years.
Wow. So during that time, like, what were some of the worst things that kind of happened because of that, do you think?
I didn't realize this till later, but I alienated my children and my first wife. Because, of course, I wanted to be a rock star like all young teenagers that play and sing and do drugs. You know, you're running after that carrot on the end of the string, and you never really quite get there. Some people go ahead and take the jump and get there, but then later on they find out that really wasn't what they were after, you know. And I didn't really realize it at the time until years later. That's a kind of a whole another part of the story. There's
yeah.
so many parts of the story, it takes hours to tell you every detail.
Well, we won't dive into every detail, but what was the moment for you that shifted things?
Well, I'd been moving around a little there, and I had moved to Nashville. I'd been in Nashville for a while. I was with in my second marriage, and we had had a breakup, and I was rooming with a friend of mine, and I was digging around in a box looking for some stuff, and when I started coming across these cards and letters from my daughters that I had gotten, and I did not remember them. They were Father's Day cards and Christmas cards and birthday cards, and it really led me to realize that people that had been telling me I was so high, I didn't really know how high I was, actually were telling me the truth. And then, of course, I wasn't listening to them. I was, you know, saying, eh, whatever, you know. But when I found it was true, I stood up and I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I won't live like that anymore. And literally in the blink of an eye, it was gone from me. The Lord just took that desire away from me instantly. And it's not been back since, actually. I just, every chance I get, I witness. If somebody's comes my way and I feel led to witness about it, and I do. Sometimes it's two or three people at the same time. Sometimes it's one person. Sometimes I'll be... I may even be in a bar. I've had people to give me slack about preaching in a bar. And I don't always feel that bad about it, because according to scriptures, you know, Christ, he hung out with the publicans and sinners and what have you, and you know, they didn't like that he did that either. So I just kind of let it go and
yeah.
keep on doing what I feel led to do.
Hey. Jesus himself said he didn't come for the healthy, he came for the sick. And he came to be in the places that the people needed him the most, right?
Yes.
So, what an amazing thing that you just asked God to help you and instantly he did it. That in and of itself is just a miracle, but I just even want to go to kind of the moment before. Like, you said that you found cards and things from your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That you didn't remember. What was that like?
Well,
I couldn't
wrap my head around it at first. And the more I dug in that box, the more I came out with more evidence that I had basically alienated my daughters for years. Because if it hadn't been true, I would have remembered those cards and letters and the times I got them and that kind of thing. And it just wasn't there, and it just... It irritated me. It just irritated me to no end. And I mean, instantly, I went to where my upbringing took me to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best way to put it is, all I needed was the faith to stand up and ask. That's all I needed.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. For me, it probably would have felt like a gut punch to realize that someone that I love so much, I had forgotten pieces of it. But God is so amazing in the ways that he can redeem things.
Yes.
So, you said that he changed it in that instant as soon as you asked.
Yes.
You just asked him and he took it away. What was life like after? Because you said that you'd gotten to a point where you felt like you couldn't live without it and you weren't you without it. What was it like after, when he took that away and you stopped using?
Well, it was a little like starting over from scratch in a way. But I had always, like for years when I was driving down the road, going anywhere on my way to do anything, was always looking for the law, because I was always carrying something illegal, you know, of some kind, just basically all the time. Yeah. And one of the first things I noticed is, like, I could drive down the road and I didn't have a worry in the world about whether cops were chasing me or watching me or anything. And that in itself was a load off my mind, a weight off my shoulders, you know?
Yeah, because I guess if you were high all the time, you were always driving under the influence before.
Always paranoid, yeah.
Always paranoid. Now, at one point a while back, you had told me that you felt like you'd not be able to have fun without it, and that once you were off of it, you realized that that was a lie, that it was the opposite.
Right. It was almost as if not being high was more similar to being high than I would have ever thought it could be. It's not being without it and being clean and being straight was in itself a high, so to speak. and I realized that I had, one of the main things that came to me is I realized about all the years and all the time that I'd wasted and all the money that I'd spent, because I did spend a lot of money.
I bet you did. Drugs aren't cheap. Yeah. Well, and you probably could feel so much more.
Yes.
And experience things in such a bigger way.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, getting high is about the experience of that, but it takes away from every other experience.
Yes, because you're not really feeling it yourself. Your high self is feeling it, which is not really allowing you, the real you, to grasp it.
Yeah.
The enemy is stealing from you constantly. Yeah. That's what is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Stealing memories, stealing time, stealing feelings.
Stealing your money.
Stealing your money. Of course, the enemy can't steal anything you're not willingly giving, usually.
Right.
Well, yeah, you can be robbed from, but sevenfold return, right?
Yes.
So, since that day, how has your relationship with God changed?
Well, that is one of the best parts of it. I don't go anywhere without Him, and I don't doubt things anymore. I've learned that any time the Spirit of the Lord or the Lord is showing you something or telling you that something's coming or something is going on or something's about to happen, it's fine to ask for confirmation, and the Lord will bring that to you. But doubting what the Lord says is definitely the wrong thing to do, because time after time after time, I've watched it and I've seen it, and I won't ever be able to feel like telling anybody that God's not real and that any part of His Word is not real and any of His promises aren't real, because I live them every day now.
Yeah. I bet that moment when He just took it away boosted your faith in a way that...
Yeah, it's almost indescribable. What it did for me was it just... I was like somebody that had been in prison for years, and suddenly somebody just opened the door and said, "Here, you can go now." And there I was, all out free, you know.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it felt. It was just... serious, total freedom. That's what it felt like.
That's amazing. I love thinking of God and thinking about what all He represents, which is so much more than we can even fathom or put into words anyway.
Right.
But, you know, God is love, and God is freedom. And freedom and love are one and the same. I love that, because it is. It's His perfect love. It gets rid of the fear. It gets rid of all those other things, and it brings perfect freedom.
Yeah, and peace. Peace is the biggest part. Being able to lay down and go to sleep at night without worrying about, you know, smoking a joint first or what. And I never was into opioids and the down kind of thing at all. It's just I was always doing stuff that would keep me wound up and keep me going. And I don't know, being able to lay down at night and rest and wake up and actually have rested instead of just struggle all night to get to sleep and to rest. It's just a wonderful thing. It is, and it'll always be a wonderful thing.
Yes, God's freedom is lasting. It's that verse, right, that says, Jesus Christ came to set you free, right? And who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yep.
Free indeed. So, because we talked a little bit about your daughters and such too, how has your relationship with them changed since God set you free?
Well, it's changed considerably. There's 8 years difference between them, and my oldest daughter, she plays drums in church, and she teaches music, actually. She plays every instrument, but she plays drums in church. She sings some in church, and she has her own walk with God and her own calling on her life, and knows it. And she was telling me here just a few weeks ago about when she was a kid, and she used to think I was crazy because I went to church. At that time, I'd straightened up for a while and went to church, and I would be talking about things, and she always thought I was crazy. But then when she found her way and began to seek for herself, and then she finds out that I wasn't that crazy, so that she feels that calling, and she, you know,
hears God speaking.
The Lord, yes, the Lord showed her what she needs to do and what she should be doing and what His purpose is for her life, and she understands what I was saying when she was thinking I was crazy. I laughed. It was fun.
Yeah. It's always nice being told that, you know, someone thought you were crazy, but now they realize you're not. So do you feel like God's really redeemed the time that you lost with your kids in some ways?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Most definitely. And we'll as time goes on, if I'm allowed to stay here, it will be redeemed even more, you know, spending time with grandkids and that kind of thing, and watching them grow up. And
yeah. And remembering all of it.
And remembering, yeah. Yeah. We still get together and sing and play together, and not as much as we used to because we're in different places, but every chance we get, we get together and play and sing.
That's awesome. I love it. It's amazing, you know, sometimes I think we take the little things for granted, right? Like remembering.
Definitely.
And what a gift it is to remember the good things and the good moments and all of that. So, Jeff is extremely prophetic. I can say that as his friend because he's spoken prophetically into my life before, and then I've seen the things that he's told me about come to pass. I want you to talk a little bit about that and your prophetic gifting and how God speaks to you and when that started and, yeah.
Well, there are several different avenues, sometimes it's odd, but I guess the best way I can explain, as I've told you before, there are times when it's like a little window opens up and I can see, a picture,
yeah,
like a moving picture, and thoughts along with that moving picture come to my mind, and it's either something that's gonna go on with somebody I was just either praying about or discussing something in their life that I was worried about or something,
mm-hmm.
and in my prayer and I can see it, and sometimes it's about people that I'm worried about and I can see it, and sometimes I'm allowed to say something and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm to pray about it and wait to see the result, and there's been times in the past when people that I'd known were telling untruths and those kinds of things, and I hated to see what I was shown that might come to pass as far as they were concerned, and I would even tell somebody, you need to tell them, you know, tell you the truth about that, and yeah, and I've, well, you, there ain't nothing to make you check yourself on your prayers and what you say sometimes, and when those kinds of things come to pass, and you basically don't even want to pray anymore because you worry about, what did I say the wrong thing? And it's not you. It's just it's one of those ways that God has of giving you an insight so that somebody has a chance.
Yeah.
And that, and they hear of the word coming to them that says, hey, you know, that's not true, and you know it's not true. You need to you need to ease up off of that, because that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, well, prophetic intercession is so powerful. I mean, I really believe that the prophetic is for two things: to intercede for people and prevent things from happening or shift them when the enemy's trying to interfere, right?
Yes.
And to edify, encourage, and push forward into calling.
Right, right.
So you either speak into a trouble and you unravel it and you intercede by the power of God and prophetic words, right? Or you speak to the future and to the goodness in someone and you call forth something in them and edify them through it. And to bring people to Jesus, of course.
Right.
But that's edification as well. It's just showing people who God really is. Give an example of one of the times that it's been scary. Like when a prayer has been answered, maybe in a way that you didn't expect, mm-hmm. and it was like, whoa.
Yes, because it doesn't always happen the way you'll picture in your mind, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and the next thing you know, that's not what happened at all.
Yeah.
But the end result is still the same. It's just not the way your mind thought it would go. Because the reason that is because a lot of the times, if we have too much influence on things physically or within ourselves, it's not going to go the way God intends for it to go. And yeah. It needs to be Spirit-led, and the Spirit needs to be where the work is being done from God's side and not from our side. Our prayers are there to help people along, and our testimony is there to help people along, but we don't get to necessarily pick and choose and do whatever we think is best. Now, there are times when I've been pushed to say something before to somebody, and I have, mm-hmm. and it's made a difference for them. But that's not always the way it works. Sometimes it's out of your hands. But your prayers, you knowing what's going on. For another thing, it's a check to see if you are going to try to take control of it and do it yourself out of your old fleshly man, or are you going to leave it in God's hands where it needs to be left anyway?
Right.
And that's a check, and that keeps you out of the enemy's crosshairs sometimes, as far as because once you get off in the flesh and try to do things on your own instead of leaving it to God, the enemy gets to come along and lay traps and stuff for you, and you know, try to get you all off in the ditch where you can't help with traffic control and stuff.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is seeking God in the whole process. I have a friend that says, you just follow instructions. You follow God's instructions. And then you wait until he gives you the next instruction. But you make sure you follow his instructions. So God speaks one thing, and you act on that one thing. And maybe that one thing is, you get a word, but maybe you're not supposed to share it. Maybe you're just supposed to intercede. So the instruction is, intercede. Pray against this, you know, bind it, cast it down. Maybe the instruction is, here's a word and you need to go give it to this person.
Right.
But then you have to also release the word and trust God to do what he's going to do with it.
Right.
And maybe that's the first step, but then God gives you another directive later, you know? It's about always being an earshot with God.
Yes.
Always talking to him and always listening and seeking, so that we know what the next right step is.
And a lot of times the hardest thing to do is to wait part.
Oh, so hard.
because you don't really, you can't always see everything that's over there on the other side. Sometimes you'll be able to see more than you can at other times. But sometimes you have to wait because you don't know how long it's going to take for the spirit to do the work that needs to be done over there. And you really don't, you really aren't helping anything if you're projecting yourself into it and trying to help too much on your own, other than just being prayerful and mindful and leaving it all to the Lord's hands. I mean, that's the best you can do, because ain't nobody going to do any better than He does.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I know there have been times, actually, I think you prayed with me through some of this stuff, but there have been times where I've prayed for specific things because that's what God led me to pray. And then I saw a very, very direct, exact answer to prayer. And yet, even though it was exact, it was so much more brutal when it played out than I expected, that I just went, oh, Lord, you're so big and so powerful, and wow, thank you for answering my prayers, but oh my goodness, this is so much more brutal in the playing out of it than I expected. But then I also had to go, but God, you know what's best. So you know that in the way that this played out, it was the way it had to go for the people in it to get the lessons that they needed, to get the awakening that they needed, and even to get the freedom.
Yep.
It's like, yep. For you, in that moment when you saw those cards from your daughters, that was probably a brutal moment.
Oh, it was. It was. I hated to see that. I hated to see myself in that particular position.
Yeah.
But there I was. I mean, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
You either go one way or you go the other. You either go back into it and stay where you are, or you get out. My only way to get out was to stand up and ask the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Tell Him, if He helped me, I won't live like that no more. And He was good enough to help me. I'm going to be man enough to not live like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that moment, right, where you have to be totally honest with yourself for the role that you've played in it, but then also the realization of what's actually gone on. And that was a brutal moment, but that was the moment that you needed.
Right, right.
That was the moment that you needed to get the freedom that God so
wanted
you to have, yep, and wanted to give you, and to have the redemption that you have with your family. So it's funny, because I know what you mean by sometimes being like, oh, what did I pray that did this, you know, but I believe that God leads us to prayer, and that He then does what He needs to do, and what He does is perfect, even when it is brutal. Maybe it's totally brutal, but that was exactly what was needed for that awakening, that moment that just shifted everything.
Right.
And if you didn't have that, you might have never had the good things in your life that you have now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, God's amazing that way. So, if you could leave the audience today with one message of encouragement or hope to take with them, what would it be?
Well, I guess it would be, no matter your age, no matter how long you've been around, or maybe you're just a teenager, God will hear you the same, and He will answer you the same. The enemy will fight you the same, and your only hope of knowing real, true peace and being in a place of realizing why you're here and what you're supposed to do while you're here, you only reach that by going to the Maker and the Almighty, because that's where the answers are. I've been at work and messed up a piece of wood I was working on, and like it would be the only piece I had left to finish this project, and I'd make a slip and mess it up, and I'd say, Lord, how am I going to fix that?
Mm-hmm.
and He would show me, and I could fix it. Yeah.
He's even in the small things.
I'm, I mean, there's nowhere you can go that he's not there. And it's always going to be better if you turn to him and let him lead you to the next place that you're supposed to be, because that's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, recently I've heard a few people say, and I wholeheartedly agree with this, you can't even know yourself or your true identity until you know who you are in God, because God created you and He's the only one that fully knows you.
Right.
So when you're searching, when you need answers, and when you need to find yourself or know yourself, the best place to go is to God, because He's the one that can show you all of those things.
And emotional stability.
Yes.
That's another huge plus, is when you find yourself, when you find yourself living and working in the Scriptures, you find your life and parts of your life and things that you say and things that you do mirroring and the images in the Scripture that you see and that kind of thing. It brings you to a different emotional stability that you've never had. And that don't mean you ain't going to bust out crying for no reason sometimes, because it'll happen, but you don't get shook by things that you used to get shook by when you begin to find yourself with the Lord on your side and you're on the Lord's side. When things come along in life, you realize that there's a reason for it, even if you don't understand it. And then if you'll just wait and trust in the Lord, you're going to find out what that reason is and why things happen and where you're going from here. And it brings you to that place where you just don't find yourself in that paranoid state of mind anymore. Fear will just kind of not even... You find yourself not even worrying about anything, because there's no help in worrying yourself. All it does is wear you down. And when the Lord gives you peace and you hang in there, you'll find yourself at a point to where you don't leave the house thinking about what happens if you just get up and go every day, and you find the Lord everywhere you go.
And you trust Him.
And you trust Him.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to cry or whatever, because we still have an enemy, and he loves messing with our minds and messing with our emotions, you know, and there are times you do get attacked, even just in your emotions, but when you know who God is, and you turn to God even in the midst of that, He always meets you there. And He will pull you out of it, and I like just saying, you know, devil, you're a liar.
Yeah.
I know what God said, and I'm going to stand on what God said, and I'm going to believe what God said, and I'm going to know that it doesn't matter what mistakes I've made, it doesn't matter what mistakes other people have made, it doesn't matter what a mess it looks like, God is bigger than all of that, and He can change things in an instant.
Yep.
He can take 30 years of being high and turn it into instant sobriety.
Yes, He can. Yes, He can. And I had somebody argue with me about this point. One thing I noticed was whenever I came back to myself, just like the prodigal son in the hog pen thing, it's basically the same story. Whenever I came back to myself, and you'll find yourself wondering at times, is this God or is this not God? One thing I noticed was that when the Spirit was speaking to me when I made my return, and as far as things that needed to be done, just for instance, my second wife was gone to her sister's,
mm-hmm.
and when this happened to me, and I was praying about it, and so, you know me, I was all... My flesh was still wanting to do my Tarzan beating my chest thing, and I was saying, the Spirit told me, she'll be back. It'll be a year, yeah. And of course I'm doing beating my chest Tarzan thing, and I'm saying, oh, it's gonna take her that long to get it together, huh? And the Lord's like, no, it's gonna take you that long to get it together.
Yeah.
The Spirit will talk to you about you. If you have a wrong spirit, that wrong spirit will come telling you things about everybody else to get you fired up at them and everything else. That's not the right spirit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes God talks to you about other people to intercede or
right,
give a
but
word.
Not but not not but, not telling you bad things about them to get you all fired up at them, though.
That's for sure. That's the truth.
But yeah, he was right, and a year, just right within a week of that time, I'm sitting in church. She calls me on the phone. I'm on my way. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's. I've got so many instances I could talk about. It just goes on and on.
Well, we might have to have you back to talk about another time sometime. But thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming and doing this and sharing about how the Spirit will speak and sharing about your amazing testimony of total turnaround.
Yep. Everybody needs to hear that. Yes. Everybody.
God is so good. So thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. You can catch me on Facebook, Instagram, Brittany Bexton, on both of those. And if you would like to get a copy of my book, Learning to Believe Again, you can find that anywhere books are sold, including Amazon. Thanks so much for joining us. I will see you, well, I will speak to you next week. Have a great one.
Begin when you're